we're talking about the fact that the UAE cabinet have approved a draft policy which sets new standards for the sale and use of child car seats. Now, of course, child car seats been in the news a lot the last couple of months because after a very long time, we've finally got the law that we have to have them. Now, the cabinet is passing a draft policy to make sure the ones that we can purchase are up to the right standards. So it aims to ensure the highest safety norms for children in vehicles through new regulations and monitoring procedures. So what can you tell us about this new policy? Because I think people may not understand why this is extra to what we already knew came in on July 1st.
Yeah, well, this has been termed as the next big step from the government to ensure that children are properly buckled up in cars. And like you said, it, you know, complements the new federal traffic law, which came into effect on the 1st of July. And that law stated that motorists must ensure that kids under the age of 4 are secured in a child car seat. And these latest standards have been set by the Emirates Standardization and Metrology Authority, also known as ESMA. And these standards have been approved by the UAE cabinet. And it'll mainly focus on the procedures to register car seats. These seats will also have to obtain a certificate of conformity, which means there'll be more scrutiny on retailers and dealers or suppliers. And we caught up with Abdullah Al-Maini. He is the Director General of ESMA. He sums up what this policy will include.
The new rules, as reviewed by ESMA, aims to implement the safest requirements that will ensure the safety of all children in moving vehicles. The system complies with the authority's objectives and safety guidelines. It would also help raise the quality of products currently sold in the market. It is also in line with the amendments made to the federal traffic laws, which came into effect on the 1st of July. One of the most important requirements is categorizing seats for children based on weight and age, and enhancing seat belts to ensure that children are securely fastened. Seats will also undergo collision tests to guarantee they will protect children in the case of an accident.
So, Sanoush, do we know what happens with car seats that have already entered the market before this new policy was announced, and how is this going to be scrutinised?
Well, the policy states that car seats will not make it across the UAE's border points without a valid conformity certificate, and also inspections of seats that are on sale will have to be carried out at retail outlets. Now, with regards to your question regarding what happens to car seats that are already on sale before this decision came into effect, well, it seems that, you know, first of all, awareness campaigns will be held and also they will be given a time period of 180 days to ensure that the seats on sale meet the required standards, because, you know, there are seats of different brands. Maybe there are brands that already are in line with these standards. And also, you know, parents are being advised to watch out for the standards. Many parents, especially new parents, are not aware about, you know, how to go ahead buying car seats. And they have been asked to, you know, read about it and ensure that they go for the right brands. And we, you know, earlier spoke to Ben Bunk. He is a CEO of Dutch Kid and co-founder of Just Kidding. He, in fact, has, you know, this advice, or he kind of shares these tips.
We all recommend to follow European standards, which are endorsed by the United Nations. You can recognize these seats with an orange sticker that says 44-4, which is the test report, and it's a standard according to which they are tested. It is tested on many aspects by United Nations. It has to do with the stability of it, with the strength of it, with the dimensions. You will see that car seats that are suitable for children like age 0 to 12 or 18 months, they actually all look alike. And what you see in the better retailers in town, they all follow that standard and they only offer seats that comply with this standard.
Ben Bunk, of course, you know, he has many years of experience. Of course, he is trained. He is a trained specialist in car seats. And we did speak to him earlier this week. And he went through those standards with us. And he told us that, obviously, as he says there, it is from the United Nations. This is something that it's a world standard, in fact. And we're making sure that the UAE is really up to those standards.
And, you know, this policy will be implemented in partnership with, you know, different federal and government entities. Yes, ESMA has set these standards, but when it comes to implementing the policy, it'll be done with the support of various federal government entities, customs authorities, departments of economic development in different emirates, the chambers of commerce and industry, and all of them will be jointly involved in enforcing the system. And again, it is there'll be more scrutiny on retailers, suppliers and dealers. And the advice to parents is to ensure that the standards are being followed, to read on it and to, you know, not just plainly just go to the outlet and buy a car seat, but to read up on it before buying the seat.
This really does feel like the last sort of piece in the pie, if you like, of protecting children in cars. You know, we waited so long for that law, didn't we, Sanuj, for that you must buckle up your child in a proper age-appropriate car seat. And this feels like that last piece of the pie, making sure that those car seats that we can purchase here are up to the right standards.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, initially when the law came into effect on the 1st of July, it was mainly targeting parents, you know, saying that, you know, you need to buy a car seat. Here is the deadline and this is the fine. But now there'll be more, there'll be stricter checks on the sellers and retailers as well.
Thanks very much for your time this afternoon, Sanuj Sharif there from the ARN News Centre.
Thank you.
One of the most effective safety.
This is Drive Live
on Dubai i 103.8.
Right, elsewhere in the news, a UAE resident claims to have lost 1,500 dirhams to a phone scammer who allegedly posed as an employee of telecom provider Du. That doesn't sound like a lot of money to some, but this woman earns only 2,000 dirhams a month, and it's believed that the caller knew her Emirates ID number, which convinced her that she had already won 200,000 dirhams. He'd apparently asked her to send him phone credit worth 500 dirhams three separate times, which he said was the crucial step in her claiming her prize. He asked for more money, and that's when she got suspicious. Her friend spoke to ARN earlier. She wanted to remain anonymous, Sally. But I just wanted to raise here, this is the same week that we've had a story from Du warning people against these scams. And this is a really sad one, because this woman's really been taken advantage of, and she's in a vulnerable position. She doesn't earn very much money. And they had these details about her that they should never have had.
That's how they get you. And I've had these kind of calls before where they go, oh, this is your Emirates ID number. This is these are the last few digits of your SIM card or whatever it is. If you just take your SIM card out of your phone and have a look at the numbers, you'll see that they match what I'm telling you. And therefore, what I'm saying to you is legitimate, when in fact it is not. And it's really unfortunate. But it seems like in this case, it's exactly what we've been talking about. Those who are most vulnerable are the ones who are really getting sucked in. It's those details that they list to you that make you think, oh, this could be legit, when no, it's not.
Well, here's the friend of the woman who got scammed talking, as I said, on the condition of anonymity, and very emotional about it, as you can imagine.
What she did is she went to her boss and asked, is this true or not? And then the boss told her that it's a scam, you should not give money. But apparently the 1,500 was gone already. They were trying to retrieve the note by using the reference number that she was shared with the caller, but it's gone. And instantly, within less than an hour, she lost the 1,500 dirham.
They got in touch after ARN had reported that story, as I said, Sally, earlier in the week, that Du had sent an SMS to its customers warning them of scams using its name. And Du has one piece of advice. You must always report such cases to them or the authorities. And as we said, Sally, when we were talking about that story earlier in the week, if it sounds too good to be true, it is.
That's exactly right. And if you are in doubt, pretty much just say to them, look, I'm going to call the police, and see how fast they hang up when you say that.
And definitely don't ever hand over money. If you really have won money, why do you have to hand over money to claim it? Think about it.
No, exactly.
But never. Yeah, our heart goes out to her for sure. And I think Du are helping her out. So that's good news. All right, plenty more to come this hour. Shortly, we'll be talking about a fast food advert. Well, it has people up in arms. Some are angry, some are bemused. We'll be talking about that next. Also, it was the premiere of Dunkirk here in the UAE last night. Apparently, it was amazing, and we're going to be talking to somebody who saw it last night.
This is Drive Live
on Dubai i 103.8.
It's just gone 20 past four. You're listening to Drive Live. Claire and Sally with you this afternoon. And Sally, a new advert for KFC has got people talking. Many of them are angry, but some of them are just bemused.
It's just this advert, I saw it this morning and I just thought, I don't know what to make of this. This is for KFC. Okay, they have a new advert. It's called the Whole Chicken. And so basically it features some sassy white hens strutting around to X Gon Give It To You by DMX. This is it's a rap song, if you know the song. And so they're just kind of strutting around to the music. And then at the end, it says, you know, we give you the whole chicken and nothing but the chicken. They're excited about it. KFC love it. They say, we're proud of our chicken. We're not afraid to show it off. I don't know. And it's a different direction. It's unlike any other KFC ad you've seen. But some people are saying it's disgusting.
Okay, so first of all, the chicken sort of struts towards the camera, doesn't it? Mm. So it's almost like a chicken on a catwalk and, like you say,
exactly,
sort of bopping to some very funky music. And the whole point of the ad is that it's the whole chicken because, of course, KFC in the past have had lots of criticism for using nasty bits of the chicken and not real chicken meat and all that kind of stuff. So they're so I see where they're going with it. But as you said, some people have said it's disgusting because it makes... Why?
So they've said it's disgusting because... Why are you showing us a chicken when you expect us to eat the chicken? It is the last thing that we would expect to do after seeing an ad like this. It's interesting because PETA have been contacted about this. And the PETA director, Alyssa Allen, she said, did KFC get the idea for it from the new ad from PETA's I'm Me, Not Meat chicken ad? She said, it certainly looks as if we designed it because it challenges anyone thinking of eating chickens to look at these smart, sociable, sensitive and beautiful birds in the eye and recognise that they're individuals, not body parts to be battered as nuggets.
Well, Peter, of course, the people for ethical treatment of animals, they're not going to like any KFC ad, are they? And I understand their point there. I think there's two schools of thought on this ad. Some are saying, well, actually it's three. Some are saying we don't like it because it doesn't make us want to buy chicken. We don't want to see the live chicken and eat chicken. And I've got a slight problem with those people because, you know, tweets like... Benjamin, who said, I know it's hypocritical, but I hate the new KFC advert. It reminds me that it's real chickens I'm eating. And I think most vegetarians would say, look, if you're going to eat meat, you should know what you're eating.
Yeah, how would you not know that?
And Alice says, I'm not a vegetarian, but I don't eat much meat, but I'm appalled at this KFC advert. It's no light-hearted joke, get it banned. But you're not a vegetarian, so I don't know what you're upset at. If you eat chicken, you shouldn't be disgusted by this ad. Will it make you want to buy chicken and eat it?
That's a whole other story. Exactly.
Because we don't necessarily like the sensibilities of that. And I was telling you when we were talking about this story that I remember when I was working for a newspaper here having an advert booked, and we looked at it and we thought, really, do they want to do that? And it was from a chicken company here. And the ad was all lots of little, real photos of little chicks. You know, like Easter hatched out chicks.
See, that's another example of a similar thing.
We just advised them that maybe that wasn't the best way to sell chicken meat. But... what they were trying to do, which is the same thing KFC is trying to do with this, is show that their meat is real. They're not adding any other bits in it, and it's all about the whole chicken. So I guess they're being brave and honest in a sense.
Yeah, they are. But on the other hand, the purpose of an advertisement is to make you want to buy more of the product and to consume the product. Whereas people are just saying that it doesn't have that effect at all. It's not about being disgusted by it, but, you know, they're saying, sorry, but if the new KFC ad makes you want to eat chicken, you're a psychopath. That is one tweet.
Some people love it, though. Some people tweet that they love it.
Yeah, some people did tweet that they love it. But, yeah. No.
KFC saying we're proud of our chickens and we're not afraid to show it. That's what they say about it. What do you think? Check it out if you can online, the video itself that we're talking about. I also tweeted it earlier, so you can have a look at it there. 4001. Disgusted. Fair enough. At least we're being honest and showing that meat comes from real animals. You know, you could look at it that way.
You don't really need to. I mean, if you didn't know that before, I feel for you.
No, but
I really
people like
I
to
don't
stick,
understand.
People who eat meat, some people like to stick their head in the sand, don't they? And I think that would be, you know, they think, oh, it's not really real meat, is it? It's not really real animals. They don't think about it. So KFC is showing you this is an animal.
And I would eat that chicken. It's a very good-looking chicken in the ad. It's a good one. You want a good-looking chicken to be there.
Vegetarians, I'm sure you won't like this ad, but let us know what you think. Or maybe you will, because if you agree with some of the people that say it's going to put people off eating chicken, maybe it's done its job. Maybe it was a case of industrial espionage. From Peter there. They're trying to...
Possibly. I don't know. I doubt it.
Emma Brain's in the studio. She's here for many reasons, not least the news, which will be coming up shortly, but also we're going to be talking about Dunkirk. She went to see it last night, but I'm pretty sure she'll have something to say on the KFC chicken ad.
Well, I've just come back to Sally's comment. People should know where their food comes from. Unfortunately, many of them don't. According to recent surveys, lots of school children think meat is plant-based products. They think pastas made from plants. They have no idea where their food comes from.
So in a sense, can you see KFC at least are being honest here? It's about the whole chicken.
I do get it, but I'm not sure if I agree with it.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
Well, let's know what you think. Simon says KFC, snowflake society. We're all too easily offended. Right, let's move on to why we asked you to come in early, Emma. Last night you went to the UAE premiere of Dunkirk, a hugely anticipated movie out this weekend, of course. We were talking about it all last week because we had competition tickets to give away, and I think they went to the premiere last night, our
yes.
winners.
Yeah, that was last night.
How was it? We're dying to know.
It's absolutely amazing. I think this one is possibly Christopher for Nolan's biggest, best, amazing masterpiece movie. I will say he shot it on 70mm film, so if you are going to go and see it, you'll have to see it in the IMAX so that you get that full big experience of it as he intended it to be shown. He's done a fantastic job. A few surprises for me. Harry Styles, for one, was fantastic in it. He was really, really good. I think he probably ended up having most of the dialogue in the film, surprisingly enough. In a film that
there isn't a lot of dialogue.
Doesn't have a lot of dialogue because it completely immerses you in the imagery. And this is, of course, what Chris Nolan is renowned for. And it's a stripped back movie. So there's not all these big special effects. Visually, absolutely stunning, as you'd imagine from him. But it's harrowing and it's emotional. And what these guys went through being stuck on that beach in Dunkirk waiting to be rescued by civilians was incredible. And it kind of takes you back how British attitudes were back then. It was very much pull your bootstraps up, lads, let's get on with it. And when it all goes to pot, a cup of tea and some jammy toast and you'll be all right, you know. And it's that kind of thing.
One of the words that was used a lot when we were reading the reviews last week was immersive. It's immersive, and intense was the other word.
It is very much so. I mean, you're plunged right into it, and this is why it's harrowing. And I did choke up, and I did shed a few tears because it is very... But there are personal reasons for that for me specifically. But it's an incredible movie. It really, really is. And Chris Nolan's been very clever with the time fractures that he's used because he's very well known for doing these non-linear movies where time goes all over the place. And it does explain it at the beginning of the film. So all the soldiers, what happens to them, it takes place over a week. All the sea stuff, it's one day. And then the air stuff is an hour. So a week, a day, and an hour all come together and end up in a cohesive story at the end. But fantastic. Go and see, it's brilliant.
Booked to go at the IMAX on Saturday, so I'm really looking forward to it. So I'll let you know, Sal, how it was.
It sounds incredible and something that everyone should check out, I think. But I mean, so basically you're saying all of the critics are right, Emma.
It's one that I've seen some negative reviews, particularly from one American reviewer who was basically bemoaning the fact that there weren't enough minority actors or women actors in the roles. And it's like, would you like to pick up a history book perhaps before comments?
I did chuckle when I saw your tweet that earlier. 4001, let us know what you thought if you were lucky enough to see Dunkirk last night. We'd love to know. Are you planning to see it this weekend? Share your plans. And on the subject of the KFC chicken ad, do you agree with Simon? Are we too easily offended, or would you really rather not see a whole chicken in your chicken ad? I guess that's what we're asking, isn't it, Sal?
Or would you just like to see a completely different ad anyway? I would.